Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you right here on Sports Grid. We'll start things off recapping some of the weekend action from Major League Baseball. Boy, did I not expect to be talking about the New York Mets in the way that we are. I mean, things have been bad. They won a series against the Washington Nationals, and things have never been worse because their two superstar players are now in a heated rivalry with the fan base. Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor and the rest of this Mets team now deciding to give fans the thumbs down. Now, listen, I understand you want the fans to cheer you. I understand that when you're down, you want to be picked up instead of put down. And I would totally understand Baez and Lindor and even Pete Alonso urging the fans to continue to support them as they are absolutely 162, giving it their all. What will never work and what is about to be proven true in terms of getting the fans on your side is Javi Baez and this group deciding that they are now going to blow back at the fans, that they are going to boo the fans, that they are going to basically say that when we do good things, you don't get to celebrate it because you're not celebrating us when we're batting 212, when we're striking out with runners in scoring position. So here we are now, Donnie, a team that is again going to be only playing the Nationals or the Marlins for the next 2 weeks of baseball, a legitimate chance to go on a run and apply pressure to the Atlanta Braves despite their 16-1 price to win the NL East. Well, they're now going to be competing against the Marlins or the Nationals on top of their own fans.
It's amazing. And how did it get to this point? Because you're taking a look at the ringleaders, as we're thinking, is Francisco Lindor, who signs a $300 million contract plus, supposed to be the leader of the baseball team, hasn't been there that long. And it's not as if he's saying, hey, I'm doing my part. I'm hitting 325. I got 31 home runs. What else can I do? I don't want to hear it from the fans. Like, I'm a big money player. I came here to win. The organization is not winning, but it's not my fault, and fans don't boo me. Then Javi Baez comes over. He's been there, for a cup of coffee. He's already angry. And keep in mind, he should be angry at the Chicago fans as well, because as he was heading out the door, they were horrendous. So he comes over to the Mets. Now they are horrendous at this time. And I laugh at Javi Baez, because you should be talking about the home runs that he hits, the exciting player that he is, the future that he can have in New York, and maybe what's going to take place next season. But you know what goes around Twitter and social media? If you ever played like a PS5 game, or even back in the day, PS2, when the internet just came on and we're playing on broadband and some people have dial-up networks. You ever see the swings that you get on the show or whatever Major League Baseball game you're playing where you push the button and nothing happens here and then the lag comes 15 seconds later with a swing? That's what Javi Baez is doing at the plate right now. Have you seen some of the cuts there saying he's swinging as soon as the pitcher throws regardless of what's happening? Or how about this, Javi Baez, the sensational base running that you're giving to the New York Mets? So then you say, all right, if we were up 10 games in the division now, why are the fans booing us? We're a first-place team. No. You were a team at a 5-game lead in the NL, and that all but disappeared along with your playoff hopes to win the NL East and also your actual playoff hopes in the wild card race. So what a better time to say, I'm a free agent. I hate this place. And New York, if your agent stepped in and goes, yo, this team has more money than anybody else to pay you, and you know what you're saying? I hate everything about this city. And I'm going to let the fans know about it, Kevin. It's bizarre, and I love to watch this. People like to watch car wrecks. This looks like it could be one in New York City.
We bring the radio audience into the fold. Appreciate everybody that is tuning in to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside with you here on a Monday morning. Again, I understand wanting to encourage the fans to cheer instead of boo. I get it. If I sat here every time I blew through a break and someone started booing me, I'd be tough, be less than ideal.
I do it.
But this is, it's not, but at the end of the day, like, this isn't going to get better by going about it this way. What I will say, there's two other very interesting notes. One is, Javi Baez can leave this offseason, it is what it is. But Baez is wearing the brunt of probably the fact that he is sticking up for his very good friend Francisco Lindor, who's been getting booed out of that building since April because he's been bad all season long. And at the end of the day, Lindor's got 9 more years on a deal. That's not going to get better. But the one thing I will say, if this team goes on a run, they will be the most can't-miss team in all of Major League Baseball, and nothing would make me happier because, again, it would be the most pro-wrestling thing in all of Major League Baseball. If this team just goes win after win after win, and every time they round the bases, they're booing the fans and the fans are booing them, if all of a sudden tonight at Citi Field they are giving up roar chance for the Miami Marlins, if they go out there and do the wave because Javi Baez strikes out again, this will be delightful. I cannot wait to watch this play out. Later in this hour, we'll preview today's Major League Baseball board. Just noteworthy, Donnie, quickly as we look at the updated wild card standings in these respective leads here. The Yanks hold a 2-game lead over Boston, who occupy the second spot. The Dodgers, again, running away with it. The Reds still up 1.5 on the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, how about the Toronto Blue Jays, too, sitting 5.5 games out of the wild card, but yet sporting a +114 run differential. It's amazing stuff as it boils down to, but I'm more interested in watching that NL race, Kevin, because between the Reds, the Padres, the Cardinals, the Phillies, and maybe the Mets, could be an interesting September here for that final spot.
Cardinals are awesome. They only play bad teams. They probably squander their opportunity, and now they'll play a massive series against the Reds. Up next, the AFC West.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. AFC West time. We are going to be previewing. We have 5 division left. So we're previewing one a day. We have a division that you basically can describe in one question. Can anyone catch the Chiefs? Though that might be how people would describe the conference as a whole, maybe even the league as a whole, because this division does include the Super Bowl favorites, but not just that. You have John Gruden and the Vegas Raiders, a Denver Broncos team that just made a controversial decision in terms of starting Teddy Bridgewater over Drew Lock, although there are some folks out there that love that decision, like our guy Nuggets. And then, of course, the LA Chargers bringing in a brand new head coach, as well as Justin Herbert looking to come off of the offensive rookie of the year award and have a monster sophomore season. Donnie, when you look at the odds to win this division, realistically, you're either taking plus money shots or you're laying a big old minus 290 number on the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know what's interesting? Because there's a couple ways to look at it as we analyze the AFC West. But just take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, what the odds are for the division. That's what I'm most interested in. Because you take a look at the Super Bowl odds, Kansas City plus 500, the Chargers 33-1, Denver 41-1, Las Vegas 75-1. Those are big prices. Yes, they're a lot of fun, but those are lottery tickets. We know it's clear that the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in this division outside of injury, which is the way we have to look at every single team. But let's take a look at the AFC West, just the division winner here, and look at those numbers. The Chiefs at minus 290. Do they think we think they're going to win the division? Sure we do. But do you want to lay a minus 290, have that tied up until I don't know, week 14, week 15, week 16, whenever that has actually been settled. But take a look here, Kevin, at the rest of the numbers for the division. The Chargers are a plus 490 to win the division. The Denver Broncos a plus 700. And the Vegas Raiders here at 17-1. Do I want to take a bite on the Vegas Raiders? No, I don't. But I have to say, could there be an argument made, Kevin, that the team that sits currently in the odd standing in the AFC West, the Chargers at plus 490, shouldn't be there? And that should be role reversed with the Denver Broncos? I'm not saying the Chargers aren't a good football team, which I think they are. I'm not saying that Justin Herbert is a good young quarterback. I think he is. But if I look now at Teddy Bridgewater being the starter for the Denver Broncos, he wasn't very good last year for the Carolina Panthers, showed out a little bit in New Orleans on that, you know, stretch to keep them above water, played very good football. But I think he is the type of guy that's very steady, and as long as he gets a good offensive line that the Denver Broncos should have this year, some good weapons at wide receiver, which the Broncos have, and a good running game. Oh, yeah, the Broncos should have that well and buoyed by a good defense. Why can't they at least get to that 10-win plateau or fight for that 10-win plateau? So if we're looking at just the single standings here, the Kansas City Chiefs for me, Kevin, by far the best team in that division. But if I'm looking from a value perspective on prices, I would much rather have the Denver Broncos at a 7-1 price than a plus 490 here, Kevin, on the Chargers price.
I think that's interesting, right? Sometimes I wish they had like match bets on win totals and you just kind of let it rock in that respect there. I think as I was going through some of these schedules, Donnie, you find that the AFC West off the jump looks like it got a favorable draw. Perhaps, again, that's because they're playing the NFC East, which obviously people will remain down on because of last season's results here. And maybe the Broncos should be in front of the Chargers. I think the Vegas Raiders, who have actually been competitive two consecutive years over John Gruden, are maybe a little disrespected at 17-1. The thing is, if you're betting the Chargers or the Broncos or the Raiders, then you have to be playing win totals, multiple win totals within this division. Because if I tell you, Donnie, that I have the Washington football team winning the NFC East, right? That means I probably like them over their win total. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I don't think the Cowboys could, say, get over their win total. If you are nibbling on Denver, certainly they're going to go over 8.5. But that also, I think, Donnie, would mean that you have to be lower on the Chiefs. I can't envision a world where somebody says, I like Denver to win the division, but I also think the Chiefs go 13-4. Those things to me cannot coexist. And as we transition over to win totals here, one thing that we've often talked about is the degree to which a team will be favored throughout their schedule. The Chiefs are a totally different animal, right, Donnie? Because they're favored in every single game, maybe other than at Baltimore. But basically, they weren't favored last year at Baltimore, and we saw how that played out. So it'll be interesting to see where the line closes. But let me present this 17-game Chiefs schedule in a different light. Donnie, I think there's only two games on the board where they are not above a field goal favorite, which is at Baltimore and at Tennessee. Out, because they're going to lay well above a field goal every single home game. And you look through the remainder of that road schedule outside of the division, and again, they'll lay a field goal against all their division opponents. The Bengals, Washington football team, the Eagles. They're laying big numbers on the road here, and it's still plus money to over 12.5. They're probably going to be getting over that number once again, Kansas City.
Yeah, being a handicapper that's done this a long time, sometimes the hardest things to take or take advantage of are very good football teams with high numbers. The Chiefs sitting there at a 12.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 120. Your initial thought, as always, you see the 12.5, got to go under. What are you kidding me? They got to win 13 games to cash this ticket. Then you open up the schedule. And forget if even, I'm going to get to home and away in just a moment here. You open up the schedule and you go, all right, Chiefs versus this team, win, 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 win. It seems like it's a bargain at the 12.5. But that's what you have in your mind. Andy Reid, offensive coordinator, head football coach. Patrick Mahomes, probably the best quarterback in football. Electric wide receivers, tight end, running game, offensive line. It's like, where do you sign up? Because even though you want to be, I don't even want to say going against the grain. If anything happens to Patrick Mahomes, you lose that. If you get, you know, Travis Kelce going up in years, he gets banged up, that's going to hurt. Tyreek Hill pulls a hamstring, he's out for 5 weeks. That's 13 games you must win to cash that ticket, Kevin. But as I look at the teams, like even the hard games, most of them are at home. Cleveland, Buffalo, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, all at home. It seems like it's a perfect schedule as the way it lines up here. But the other teams that I'm looking at, team total-wise in the division, Kevin, the Chargers at 9.5 plus 110, I'm going under in that one. Everybody can't go over. But the team, again, that I just talked about, the Denver Broncos, I see them sitting there at 8.5 games. If Teddy Bridgewater, if you could tell me right now, he plays decent football and starts 17 games, that's a 9-win football team. I really like the Denver Broncos. But getting back to the original Chiefs point of over 12.5, it's hard to objectively look at that schedule and say, you know what, I find multiple losses. Even though they're probably going to have, Kevin, multiple losses beginning of the season, I just can't do it. Everything I look at, favorite, easy win. It looks like they could easily get the 13, which is insane.
You know, it's really interesting, Donnie, because, and we don't agree on everything, but I do think that we really see Denver and the Chargers differently heading into this season. Denver last year, 5-11. To go out there and add up to 9 wins, it's a legitimate jump. And I'm just not super high on Teddy Bridgewater, but it might have to do with a Chargers team that, again, last year with Anthony Lynn, the ability to never close games remained as it always has with the Chargers. And I understand Brandon Staley, year one head coach, but I like what I saw, obviously, with what he was able to do with that Rams defense last season. And again, you're so right, Don, because it's difficult. I almost went through every single one of these AFC West teams, and I'm like, over. Like, you're right. Not everybody's going to fly over the number. But I go through a Chargers schedule here, Donnie, and I go see a win total at 9.5. They might be favored in 12 football games preseason. Again, you have to play the games. You have to actually put the results on the board. But we talk about margin of error. Something we talked about, for example, with a USC, right? Win total, Donnie, 8.5. 12 games favored in probably 11 of those 12 games. Feels like I have a margin forever of error. The Chargers, to me, look like they have that margin of error. What's fascinating, though, Donnie, is am I better off betting over 9.5 or a plus 126 to make the playoffs? What the bar is going to be to make the playoffs and say the AFC is another fascinating discussion. We can pick that up as well as talk about some of the favorite prop bets that AFC West players are offering. We'll talk about that next right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line, going over some of this AFC West action here. Before we get to the props, Donnie, I do want to just circle back on something that we were closing it out on. If I told you I like the Chargers over 9.5 wins, right? But the win total, you know, kind of, let's say, lines up minus money, plus money, though, to get to the playoffs there. Do we think 10-7 is guaranteeing a team a spot in the playoffs? Because there are a couple examples. The Pats win totals, a 9 at minus 140, but they're plus money to make the playoffs here. Do you feel like with a 17-game schedule, 10-7 is locking us into the postseason, or maybe not?
I think it is, but I guess you'd have to quantify, because I had to take a look at what that overall price is. What's the price, again, to make the playoffs? What were they getting?
For the Chargers, it's plus 126.
I actually think that would be better then, because that differentiating factor would have been, you know, Chargers 9.5 plus 110. Hey, it's plus money, where to make the playoffs is minus 110. So theoretically, they're probably going to need 10 wins to get in. But if we're taking a look at a better price on to make the playoffs, if they get 10 wins, the chances of them missing out on the playoffs, probably pretty slim. I like that better than taking the win total.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, because if I told you, hey, does 9-7 lock you in? You'd be like, eh. Does 10-6 get you in? 100%. Now we have 10-7. This is obviously, though, the adjustment to a 17-game schedule. Let's talk some player props here. There's a lot of interesting, different kind of groups to break down here when you talk about the skill position players. We'll start, though, with the quarterbacks, Donnie. No Teddy Bridgewater props, and there probably won't be Bridgewater props. It doesn't look like, and more than understandable, you're going to get numbers on quarterbacks that are involved in any kind of battle. Garoppolo, Cam, Jameis, and Teddy Bridgewater is going to fit that mold. But Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr all listed here on the FanDuel Sportsbook with in terms of passing numbers. But, of course, you also have your lead the league in touchdown numbers, of course, where Mahomes is your favorite and things of that nature. For any of these three quarterbacks, do you find some value?
I do find some value. Now, do I think, like we take a look at that graphic there, Patrick Mahomes, 5,000 passing yards. Sounds like a lot, right? But keep in mind, once again, people, we have the extra football game. So that equates still 294 yards per game over 17 weeks to hit that number. 300 yards used to be the benchmark of, like, perfection in an NFL game, but no longer because it's more of a passing league. And again, we're going to be getting that extra game. I still do think Patrick Mahomes going over the total does make sense, but also, if we think they're going to go over, Kevin, that 12.5 mark, which means what? They are going to be up in a lot of fourth quarters over the past 7, 6, 5 minutes of that final few minutes in the fourth quarter. They don't have to pass. Maybe you don't add those yards. The reason I bring this up, and I think it's so interesting when you talk about player performance props, is you look at Derek Carr, the opposite end of the spectrum in the AFC West. We just talked about the Chiefs team total. That sits at 12.5, meaning they're probably going to win 13, or you have to win 13 games to cash that ticket. But on the opposite end, the Raiders at 7 games. What does that mean, Kevin? Most of the games, meaning more than 50%, they're probably going to be down in the fourth quarter. That means you have to throw the football. And for Derek Carr to only average 239 yards per game in a pass-happy offense that John Gruden's going to roll out there in a division where it's going to be tough to get weekly wins, which means in the fourth quarter, you will be losing. You can get an extra 40, 50, 60 yards and tack on a touchdown. The most intriguing prop to me of the passing props, Kevin, comes from Carr at 4,075. I think he gets that. I like that more than Mahomes and more than Justin Herbert.
When I was tweeting out to tell folks to tune into the show, I added one of my favorite quarterback props that I've seen thus far is in this division. And it is the exact one that you just brought up in Derek Carr.
Wow.
He has thrown for 4,000 yards in 3 straight seasons. 4,049, 4,054, and then last year, 4,100. And Derek Carr has actually been pretty healthy throughout his NFL career. I know he missed a playoff game, and he got injured in the first quarter of a game last year against the Chargers. But Derek Carr is out there. You add the additional game, he's getting over this number. He might not blow past this number, but he is getting over this number with that additional game here. 42 to 4,300 yards is probably in Derek Carr's future. I absolutely love it. I will say this as far as it goes with Mahomes. You're better off, Donnie, betting him at plus 310 to have the most passing yards, or at plus 340 to have the most passing touchdowns. And maybe in terms of Mahomes, the best future to make, Donnie, is just plus 500 for him to win NFL MVP. Because as you've mentioned, for you to get over the numbers that you're laying here, 5,000 yards and all these different things, I need you to play every game. I don't know if they're going to play week 18. They might only play a half of week 17. I need you to play every quarter. But if this Chiefs team goes out there, Donnie, 15-2, by far and away the best record in the league, and he does throw for near 5,000 yards, and let's just call it over 40 touchdowns, at plus 500, he is a rightful favorite to win MVP and is probably my preseason pick to win the award.
Exactly, because you do have to factor a lot in of the MVP, Kevin, to how the team actually does. That can be your saving grace and your booster. Let's just say Patrick Mahomes throws for 4,700 yards as he comes in the week 17. They have the number one overall seed locked up and he doesn't play. That'd be a heck of a way to lose that bet when you say, no, wait, hold on. He threw for 4,700 yards, 47 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and I'm not going to get that passing prop over yardage. You know he's going to be the MVP, and it doesn't pay at a plus 110 to win the MVP. playing at a plus 500, a 5-to-1 price here, as opposed to just laying down, will he get over? Because if he gets over 5,000 yards, Kevin, this year, he's probably going to throw, as I said, close to 50 touchdowns along with it. Why not take the bigger price point there at the 5-to-1 to win MVP? It would only make much more sense. And also, you're taking a look at a futures market. Do you want to tie up, let's just say, $100 throughout the entire season? But if you tied up that $100 with a payoff of $500 at the end of the season, that's much more palatable at this point. You're right. It is a correlation there. If he has a big season, the Chiefs are going to have a big season. Therefore, he's going to be in the MVP race for that 5-to-1 price.
No, no doubt about it. Don, and looking at some of the running backs here, Austin Eckler of the Chargers, Josh Jacobs of the Raiders, Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't have props. In my notes, in all caps, give me Clyde numbers. I don't think they will. And then Javonte Williams, a rookie running back for the Broncos, has some listed options as well. Any of the running backs catching your eye?
Yeah, Austin Eckler's a tough one, Kevin. 875 yards. Do you really want to use him on the ground all that much when you know he dominates out of the backfield as what I like to call a satellite running back? Just get him in space, and he's going to be able to do some damage out here, and he has had the propensity to get injured. But I look at Josh Jacobs, 1,025 yards here on the season. Sign me up for that one. Let's take a look at the last 2 years. Rookie year, 1,150. Second year, 1,065. If he can stay healthy during this NFL season, at 17 games, if he gets all 17 games in, he should easily eclipse that 1,000-yard marker. Now, we used to look at a 1,000-yard running back the same way we look at a 300-yard passer. A little bit different now because it is a little bit harder to get over 100 yards because of how prominent the passing game is. But this is one of those young guys that's played, what, 13 games in his rookie season, 15 games in his sophomore season. And if he plays 15-plus games this year, Kevin, he's getting that 1,000 yards. I like that as the best running back prop there out in the AFC West.
He should get there. Ultimately, though, none of the again, I wanted Clyde numbers. There aren't Clyde numbers. It's all a pass for me. If you forced me, I'd play on Eckler. I'd play unders. Eckler's off an injury. Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon's a split. I don't know if Kenyon Drake's going to cut into a Josh Jacobs workload there. If I had to play one over based on what we have, you're right. Jacobs getting to a mark that he's gotten to without fully healthy seasons his first 2 years makes all the sense in the world. Again, I wish we had some CEH numbers. Enough time, Donnie, though, to bring up the wide receivers here. Your pass catchers, yeah. Kelce, Hill. You've also, of course, got Keenan Allen, Darren Waller, multiple Broncos numbers available here. Anybody jumping off the page when we're going through these AFC West pass catchers?
Yeah, two of them. But before we get to the guys that jump off the page, I'll tell you what else jumps off the page. You have a wide receiver at 1325 and a tight end at 1325.
Yeah, I know,
so as we were
man.
Just talking about those Patrick Mahomes numbers here, both of those guys are expected to have that big a season. I can't imagine what those final statistics on Patrick Mahomes might be here in 2021. But I have to slide it all the way down. A team, Kevin, that I'm not all that high on in the AFC West. I told you, I like the Chargers win total under the 9.5. But you know what? I'm not passing up Keenan Allen for the Chargers. Are you kidding me with this price? If he stays healthy, like last year, rookie quarterback, just getting his first taste of the NFL. Now you're going to say he has another year under his belt. Look at the targets. That's what you always want to look at here on whether you think a guy can get over the numbers. Going all the way back to 2017, 159 targets. 2018, 136 targets. 2019, 149 targets. 2020, only started 13 games. 147 targets. Give me all this. Now, I hope I don't jinx this like I did J.K. Dobbins. All the shares I want, all of them, on Keenan Allen. Don't jinx
it. Listen, yeah, well, and again, that's why we'll wait and we'll get closer and closer. Look, let me just say this, though, on the Hill and Kelce thing, you are much better off playing the plus money numbers for them to lead the NFL in receiving yards than betting their overs. Again, those are monster numbers for guys that are splitting workloads there. I can't do the Broncos thing. I don't know if Judy or Sutton's QB1 or a wide receiver one, and I don't know what Teddy's going to look like there. Keenan makes all the sense in the world. You want to take a shot on somebody? Like, if we like Derek Carr to throw for 42, 4,300 yards, someone's got to catch it other than Darren Waller. Henry Ruggs is 750. If he is their number one wide receiver with the yards per catch that he is going to average well above 15, he stays healthy. I think Ruggs can have a big-time season. That is the AFC West. Next is the Major League Baseball Board. We'll break it down right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the Early Line. Before we preview the Major League Baseball board, we have some U.S. Open odds boosts on the FanDuel Sportsbook that I want to let you know about. One on the men's side, one on the women's side. We have Novak Djokovic to win the U.S. Open from minus 150 to even money. We also then have Naomi Osaka to reach the final of the U.S. Open from plus 270 to plus 350. You love to see this here, Donnie. A couple of the biggest names in the sport with some nice odds boosts on FanDuel.
No, and usually we like to look at the big price, right? You like the plus 350 here in the Osaka boost, which is great. But the ones that we always ask for, Kevin, it looks like the FanDuel Sportsbook has delivered those. Give us a favorite. Boost it up to some plus money numbers or right around even. As you see Djokovic there, minus 150 to win the 2021 U.S. Open, now sits at plus 100. That's the one I'll be involved in. Give me something to root on here for the U.S. Open as we head down the stretch. But exactly, Kevin, what we've always wanted. Give us a favorite here. Boost it up a little bit, and we'll take it. I took it. Hook, line, and sinker. Let's go, Novak.
You absolutely love to see it. U.S. Open getting involved in the beautiful, beautiful Borough of Queens. No doubt about it. Let's talk some Major League Baseball. Let's talk about another situation going down in Queens. Gosh, I love the New York Mets right now. I can't wait for this game. Do we not have odds? Where in the world are the odds for the New York Mets here? Are they not even playing today? I'm too jazzed up. That's going to upset me quite a bit. They're off. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. I just assumed the Mets were in action. Don't they play every day in Major League Baseball? Fair enough. There are some other big doings, though, involving the NL East, as the Braves were able to hold their own in a series against the Giants, but now the intensity picks up as they travel to Los Angeles to play the Dodgers. And the Dodgers went out there and lost the series at home to the Rockies. I mean, that's not going to help you put a dent in the Giants lead there, but you've got a huge number here against Atlanta for the Dodgers being minus 205 and a total, Donnie, checking in at 8.5.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one here to take a look at, but also, yes, let's get back to, remember we were joking last week, all the Dodgers do is win, but all the Giants do is win. Now all of a sudden the Giants start losing. Dodgers like, hey, you know, let's take a nap this weekend. No big deal. You know, we're not going to lose anything back in the standings. Now we'll both go on seven gay runs in a row and be like, why don't they lose? Those are the times when they lose. You can't lose to the Rockies at home. Come on now. But look, it is Major League Baseball. We say it every year. Horrendous baseball teams win 65 games a season. You are going to take some losses. You're not going to win every series. But take a look at this one between the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Smiley on the mound today. How about this one? A 3.35 xFIP, Kevin, over the last 30 days. Strikeout percentage, close to 27% of the batters that he's faced. Here's the issue that's going to play. Smiley is a lefty. You're obviously going to be able to stack right-handed batters up and some powerful right-handed batters for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Over the last 30 days, 65 at-bats here for Smiley, Kevin. 341 weighted on-base percentage, which is a little bit elevated, and an ISO power number of .258, which is elevated as well. Estimated right-handed starters in that lineup, 1 through 8 for the Dodgers tonight, Turner and Turner, Pollock, Taylor, Smith. So if we take a look at the weighted on-base averages for some of these guys, take a look at Trey Turner at a leadoff position, Kevin, over the last month versus left-handed pitching, a .479 weighted on-base percentage. Take a look at Justin Turner, .357. Take a look at Pollock, .374. Taylor, .328. Smith, .513. So if you have some good professional bats from the right-hand side, they should be able to do some damage here against the Atlanta Braves. But flipping it over, Urias will be on the mound, a 4.75 xFIP, which is high, which is very interesting here. He's a 26% strikeout rate for the lefty over the past 30 days. He's faced roughly about 90 batters in that lineup. He's done very well, Kevin. You have a good-looking lineup coming in tonight to face Urias, but when you take a look at the overall prices here on what you're getting, this is interesting because a 185 weighted on-base percentage to lefties, a 229 to righties, a .063 ISO power number to lefties, and a .035 to righties. going to be really hard to go against the Dodgers, even though it's an expensive price, unless you just look at the hunt and say, hey, this Braves team is a good ball club. I'm not going to lay this much money with the Dodgers. It matches up well. Urias should dominate tonight for the Dodgers.
It's going to be a good one to follow here again, and I know the Phillies and the Mets will be looking on, hoping that the Dodgers can do what somehow the Giants were not able to do, which is beat the Atlanta Braves in a series. The Giants, though, actually enter another difficult series here where there could be some opportunity for the Dodgers, who remain favored to win this division, as the Giants bring the Milwaukee Brewers into town, and Corbin Burnes is a road favorite against this Giants. Burnes minus 146 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total checking in at an 8 as Johnny Cueto will take the ball here for the San Francisco Giants, Donnie.
Yeah, possible circled play here today for the Milwaukee Brewers, who helped me out yesterday. Team total over 4.5, easily cruised over that early in the game to get their 5th and 6th run, cashing in that ticket. More of the same today. This is a playoff atmosphere, which you just talked about, a playoff game, possibly for the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers. But Cueto being on the mound, you know, that's the mismatch here. It's Cueto versus the Milwaukee offense, not so much Burnes versus that San Francisco offense. Take a look at Cueto over the last 30 days, a 5.91 xFIP number, not a big strikeout guy, under 20%, walking about 12% of the batters that he does face. But here is always the deterrent, because you're going to have a lot of lefties in that lineup that have done very well. Wong, Yelich, Narvaez, and Tellez. So roughly half of the 8 eligible batters from the left side. That's where Cueto does the best. A .283 weighted on base percentage over the last 30 days and a .143 ISO power number. Here's where he struggles, particularly with walking guys. Cueto being a lefty, 2 right-handed batters. He's only faced 19 right-handed batters over the last 30 days, but that's a .482 weighted on base percentage. But take a look at this one. A .063 ISO power number. So not a lot of damage, but putting a lot of guys at the plate. But let's take a look at that Milwaukee Brewers lineup and how it matches up versus right-handed pitching over the last month. It's been sensational. The first 6 batters in that lineup today, Kevin: Wong, .352 weighted on base percentage. Adames, .414. Yelich, .368. Garcia, .461. Narvaez, .342. And Urias, .352. That's a good-looking lineup here for the Brewers. I trust the Brewers in this game. And I think even though they are the favorite on the road against a very good baseball club, that's the way I'd be looking here.
Also, a monster game for the Corbin Burnes Cy Young crowd here. Was not great in his last outing against the Reds. 6 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned, only struck out 5. Got a no decision because the Brewers bounced back late. But Walker Buehler has transitioned to a minus money favorite. And if Burnes does struggle against the Giants tonight, that gap will only grow. Continuing to move through this board, a big showdown between the Rays and the Red Sox. Tampa Bay, winners of 7 in a row. They beat the Baltimore Orioles 18 of 19 games this year. When the Rays win the AL East and finish with the best record in the American League, it will not be difficult to figure out why. But the Boston Red Sox are looking to make sure that they hold on to that second wild card spot right now, maybe even chase down the New York Yankees. They are in Tampa Bay. The Rays are about a minus 140 favorite with a total of 8.5.
This will be an interesting one to look at, Kevin. The reason I say this is you have 2 maybe below average starting pitchers and 2 pretty good bullpens here, once again in a playoff type atmosphere. We're also taking a look playing at Tampa Bay, not always the most advantageous ballpark for runs per se, but let's take a look at the pitchers' numbers and how they match up, at least over the last month, between each other. Patino's going to be on the mound, one of the worst xFIPs you're going to find over the past 30 days from a starting pitcher, a 6.22 xFIP number. Not a lot of strikeouts, a little bit too many walks, but let's take a look at also the damage that gets done out here. He's a right-handed pitcher to lefties, Kevin. He's faced 44 of those over the past month, a .390 weighted on base percentage coupled with a .333 ISO power number. To righties, which he's faced 43 of over the past month, that's a .205 ISO power number. Weighted on base average a little bit lower, though, at .312. But how that lineup matches up here today, you're taking a look at some pretty good left-handed bats with some power. Kyle Schwarber, Rafael Devers, Verdugo, Duran, and Urias. A lot of high weighted on base percentage and key, Kevin. Not a lot of strikeouts in this anticipated lineup tonight. So let's flip it over to Tampa Bay and take a look at Nick Pivetta being on the mound for the Boston Red Sox going up against their lineup. Another high xFIP, 4.61. Lefties, a .344 weighted on base percentage versus Pivetta and a .182 ISO power number over the last month. 39 batters that he's faced. Now, here's what we take a look at. Maybe you want to try to bet into a vacuum and say, Donnie, what does that mean? Maybe you look at maybe the first five innings in this game, Kevin, and take a total for the game over. Because if I'm going to get these two pitchers in here, and theoretically, if they don't last till the fifth inning, which means they probably got beat up a little bit here, as opposed to saying in the trop against good bullpens in a playoff-type atmosphere, maybe those runs are a little bit tough to get by. Because if you look at that lineup today for the Tampa Bay Rays and how it lines up versus righties over the past month, take a look at the ISO power numbers here, Kevin. Low, 373. Cruz, 210. Franco, 277. Meadows, 180. Arozarena, 220. Diaz, 171. Zunino, 343. And Kiermaier, 282. It's a lot of good bats in this lineup in the first five innings. That's the way I'm looking at this one. Get in, get out. Fifth inning, should have that over. That's the way I'll take it.
First five over right now on FanDuel is 4.5. That certainly looks like it could be a strong option here. Donnie, I want to ask you what you've circled, but I want to, before I do that, ask you about Corey Kluber coming back. We don't have prices yet as it pertains to this game here, but when you're going through a card, when you're going through the board, right, and you see Corey Kluber pop up, a guy that we have not seen for months on end, do you just move past that? Do you ever think about maybe picking on a guy in his first return back? How do you approach a player like Kluber who's been gone for so long?
Yeah, it's very hard to do. It's one of those where they don't come up in the initial, like I say, circled plays, but sometimes you try to backtrack and see what's what. Now, keep in mind, this isn't one of those guys just coming back like, hey, you know, he's going to miss a start or two. The last start that I have listed here, May 25th versus Toronto. So then we flip it over and see, like, the rehab starts and what he looks at. Now, here's the issue, Kevin, because you try to get a look at a guy that's ramped up. So theoretically, he's probably not going to come back and throw seven innings and, you know, 100-plus pitches. Mm-hmm. But if you look at his revamped starts here in the minor league system, 7-17, which obviously is July 17th, ERA of 9 in that game. He only pitched three innings and gave up three earned runs. His second start, Kevin, which they delayed till August the 12th, he went 1 1/3 innings, gave up five earned runs. His last start out, August the 24th, versus Cleveland's minor league team, 3 2/3, two earned runs in that game. So these aren't like, hey, he's really ramping up and looking good. This looks like a squeaky wheel coming back into Major League Baseball. So maybe a fade chance over the first five innings, or maybe if you can get like a team total of the opposing team is something to look at here, because it's not as if, Kevin, if Kluber's coming back and firing on all cylinders. Those numbers don't tell me that. And keep in mind also, the last two starts, that was double A, wasn't even triple A.
Oof, that is not great there as the Yankees stay out there on the West Coast. Talk to me, though, Donnie. What do we have circled here early morning trying to look at this baseball board?
Yeah, a couple plays here which are interesting. Monday, we don't get that full card that we usually get on, like, you know, Tuesdays or Fridays, Saturdays or Sundays, obviously, with just about every single Major League Baseball team playing. We do have an afternoon game, Minnesota and Detroit. Not the greatest situation, but the circled plays for myself today, you know, taking a chance of maybe a fade of John Lester, stacking some right-handed bats for the Cincinnati Reds. We just talked about one of those games, the Boston Red Sox team total. No matter what happens, even though it's a good bullpen for Tampa Bay, you're going to get 9 at-bats. I think that's a legitimate chance. And also, out late at night tonight, going up against Chris Flexen, the Houston lineup. Now with Bregman back, a little bit more healthy, that's an 8.5 total in that game. So another team total, Kevin, that I'll be looking for as well.
The Astros the other day absolutely had it going at the dish, so they maybe could be heating back up. I will also, though, just bring up there, because you mentioned potentially, Donnie, fading John Lester. A massive series, if there is any chance that I can still make Donnie talk about the St. Louis Cardinals. They must take 2 out of 3 from Cincinnati, but they've struggled to even beat the Pirates or Tigers in some of their recent series. Ariel joins Donnie next. Let you know what's coming up in the morning after right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last last segment for a Monday on the Early Line, as you like to say, new week, new money. Of myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wall, setting the table for an exciting, action-packed day in sports and certainly a full week of sports. Before we hand it off to the morning after, from 9 to 12, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. You know what we're not going to do to that show? Give that show the thumbs down. Always a thumbs up, Ariel, when you come on the show here. Welcome in.
Hey, Donnie. Yeah, please, no thumbs down for the show. Also, I'm just thinking back to about 3 days ago where it was Friday, and you said, soon enough, we're going to be here, and it's going to be Monday. You were right. The weekend flew in a blink of an eye.
No, it certainly did. But also, you know, we had that appetizer, as we like to call it, because it's week zero for a reason, Ariel, not week one. We saw college football. Was it played at the highest level? Probably not. But now we start to get excited because this weekend, week one, full slate, big time games, and right there on the horizon, the NFL. But I know you being a huge Ravens fan, I have to say, I think I took part in this, and I maybe put the jinx on J.K. Dobbins. Literally, my favorite rushing prop out of every single running back in the NFL was J.K. Dobbins. The only saving grace for myself is I usually wait till after the third preseason game before I put in any prop bets. What a devastating bit of information there coming out of the Ravens, losing him for the season. I feel I jinxed it, and I apologize to you. That's why I'm glad you're on the crossover. I'm sorry about that.
The jinx is that you placed the bet before the season started, or right before the preseason game started, I guess you're saying. So you should have placed it after that third preseason game. Mm-hmm. Then we would have had better luck. It's okay. My dad said it was my fault because I didn't watch the game. I was on the Peloton, and I got a text. You know, you're supposed to be working out, and it's supposed to be a relaxing hour. I try to put my phone away. I try to just, disconnect for an hour. I get a bunch of text messages from my dad and my brother who were on vacation. I'm thinking, oh no, what happened? And I answer it, it's J.K. Dobbins. I said, what happened? And then I looked at it and I said, oh, maybe we're lucky. Maybe it's a hyperextension. No, it was the worst case scenario. And we're going to have Dr. David Chow of ProFootballDoc.com coming up next on the morning after to break it all down with us.
Yep, I got a simple text that said, oh, no. And this is what it was here. But I'll tell you what's not, oh, no, oh, yes. Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens coming up in the morning after 9 to 12 on the Sports Grid Network. Stay tuned.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.